You came back to Tennessee after just 6 months away. A lot of the reason that you came back was because of this idea of unfinished business. Mm-hmm. Shortly after Tennessee's winning its first national championship, what was it like being at the College World Series in Omaha with a confetti-filled field celebrating that first title?
Surreal. It still doesn't even feel real. Amazing, like difficult to put in words. And usually I don't have trouble with that. But just the emotions were a rush, you know. Family's there, wife, daughter. You got our baseball family there. You got, you know, Coach Barnes is there. You got Coach Hype there. All the fans there, people are there. It was just amazing, incredible. We've been talking about doing something special since the fall with that group. And not because we won the Natty, but they were my favorite group. Mm-hmm. So seeing that group of young men that came together to play for each other and accomplish a goal. But we were in such, not to be corny, but such a routine of like, all right, next task. Okay, the next weekend is whoever. Next weekend is whoever. Or not even disrespecting who we played on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's like, okay, next game, next game. So then when we won, I was talking with Burke. The next day, it kind of felt like, all right, we got to get ready for next weekend. And that got to get ready for the next week or the next game. And it was like, no, we're done. And so, you know, it's just surreal, amazing feeling.
To have that discipline or mindset so ingrained into y'all that even after winning the last game of the college baseball season, you're so in autopilot to think about next week. What was it like to kind of like shake yourself out of that mindset and really appreciate and realize what you all had just done?
Honestly, and like I said, not to try to be corny or cliche, don't know if you really have yet because there's still, you know, it's a good problem to have, but we played so long that then you end up being a little bit behind and getting some players for the next year. So then you kind of got, you know, V, Frank, Elander will hit the road immediately, and then I'm trying to do whatever I can to help as well with that, and then summer guys. So it really hasn't sunk in yet either.
Yeah.
But even to take a breath, you know, that evening in the hotel, we all kind of just looked at each other like, wow, this is real. Mm-hmm. This is real. Like, we really, really did it. And so not – obviously, we believe we have the talent and the group to do it, but actually finishing the job was, like, speechless. So proud of these young men and just so proud of the staff and everybody. It was just amazing. Incredible.
Yeah, and as the director of sports performance or essentially the strength and conditioning coach, you spend a ton of quality, almost one-on-one time with this team to celebrate this moment with them and know all of the adversity that they had to overcome throughout the season to be the power hitters that they are. What was it like celebrating with them individually?
Different for each because each person's path was different, right? So like with KT, for example, you know, the adversity he's gone through, it was, you know, each moment was special. I guess you could say that. You know, even for Billy, Amick, him getting there, and we talked a lot in the fall in his recruiting situation and, you know, some stuff for him, which I love about him, he's very skeptical and doesn't trust a lot of people at first. So when we're talking about stuff in the fall and in the summer, he's like, okay, whatever. And then so it's like the embrace after that, it's like, bro, we did it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Burke, you know, obviously him being here as a freshman and with me leaving and coming back, it's just everybody's situation was special. Beamer,
yeah.
You know, then somebody like Sneed, who same kind of very similar to Billy. It just was, each situation was very unique and special, and it was just amazing to see. Like, proud is the biggest understatement of the century for what I am for these guys.
A lot of that sounds like it's built this family-like culture. You spent 6 months with the Chicago Cubs in a similar position. Is that also part of the reason why you didn't stay gone for very long?
There was a multitude of things. There's some great people, a lot of great people with the Cubs still in communication with them. So shout out to them. I don't know if the timing was right to leave in the first place, if that makes sense. So it was one of those things where like, it was a great opportunity. Some great people there, David Ross, you know, Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, Jared Banner, et cetera, the whole staff, Nap, Willie, all those guys. And then the players, J.H. Stroh, all those guys, Wilson, yeah. It was great. It was amazing. It just wasn't the same. And as much as, you know, you try to get that family dynamic, you know, the business side of the big leagues and pro ball does have – it makes some people cold a little bit. And so it's just not the same. And so when, you know, I missed the true family atmosphere, the dynamic, and it was just different. And so with missing that and, like you said, the unfinished business and the sour taste in your mouth of 21.
Yeah.
And then there was a little bit of FOMO of 22.
I'm sure.
And when you're watching that and then you're seeing things, knowing the intricate components of how we operate internally, seeing things kind of unravel, that was difficult to watch. Mm-hmm. That difficult is also another understatement. That was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to watch from afar. I talked to my wife about it, and it was like kind of like watching a car accident from afar, and you're screaming inside your car, watch out, watch out, and they can't hear you. Wow. So that's how it kind of felt. And so it was like, man, like, and not, obviously this was one of the hardest things to do when the national championship, right? But when you have a group of people that's pulling on the same side of the rope, you have a vision and you have belief. So it was like, yeah, unfinished business. So it was a multitude of things of why it just didn't feel right to leave in the first place.
Yeah, and understanding like the FOMO that you felt in 2022, how much did that ignite you and re-motivate you in this 2024 season to kind of get back what you maybe thought you missed in 2022?
Yeah, you know, to take some kind of Jordan-esque mentality that you kind of try to pass on to the players.
Mm-hmm.
You try to give them the motivation, for example, playing Florida State, and
mm-hmm.
you know who their head coach is. And so, you know, all respect to him and shout out to him, but he was at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, we're going to do this one for me. We're going to do this for that 22 team. We're going to do this for Gilby, for Beck, for those guys. We're going to have to get a little get back.
Yeah.
And so that's some things that were, you know, some internal conversations that you have to have to add a little fuel to the fire, maybe a little, you know, take that personal, guys. So that was part of it too. And you hold that, and there's some things that you're watching from afar that maybe happened during that series that you wish wouldn't have happened, that maybe could have changed an outlook. And that way you can use as examples in the fall and winter when you're trying to build some wounds up and build some scar tissue, that learn from their big brother's mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
So that was part of it for sure.
Obviously, with your position, too, it kind of requires you to kind of be the tough parent of the coaching staff, you know, always in that weight room, pushing them past their comfort zone. But when in your journey did you realize that, like, that's the type of position that you wanted to be in, or the personality you had really lended yourself to being able to push people in that way?
When I was in college playing, or high school, we had a strength coach when I was in high school that really helped me realize how important strength conditioning was to baseball. So I wasn't very good in the beginning. I transferred schools, and then Coach Joey DeCaminata helped me really figure out how, you know, the weight room can help on the field. So that was the first, and then getting to college, kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was where, once I wasn't good enough to get drafted, it was like, it was kind of a, I won't say no-brainer, but it was like I knew what my passion was. I didn't know that there could be a career field in it.
Okay.
As long as this. And then so it just kind of, falling into a position with the Astros back in 2010, it was like, wow, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And everything happens for a reason. So, but personality-wise, I've always kind of been the, even as a kid, my mom used to call me Mr. No-Nonsense.
So oh, okay.
I've always haven't really put up with BS. And then I've always spoke my mind. So I guess that kind of just was just natural, I don't know, characteristics that kind of are easy. But, you know, certain things aren't comfortable doing. That mm-hmm. accountability-wise, that you kind of just have to, cost of doing business, you have to do it, and it's for the better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in a sense, do you think in this position that you're in today, you're also maybe helping your former self, like you're somebody you wish you had?
Absolutely. And paying it forward is something that, you know, we all try to do, hopefully, at least as coaches, you know. but yeah, I tell our guys all the time, I wish I had more people, I had a good amount, but more mm-hmm. people in my life that could have help me, guide me, and learn from their mistakes as well. Because all I try to do is tell our guys, you know, learn from my mistakes. And I'm pretty vulnerable and tell them mistakes I made when I was younger, because that's how young people grow and learn.
In high school, when you were playing baseball, that the position that you hold now wasn't really a thing. You didn't have access to the type of strength and conditioning that you now offer and is a part of, you know, college sports and sports as a whole. Is it weird to understand, like, how important and pivotal your role is to the overall success of the team?
Yeah, I don't think of it like that at all.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm a big no blame, no glory guy.
Okay.
And that's from the most genuine bottom of my heart. I'm a spoke of the wheel, just being honest with you. And people always ask, the Cubs would ask me questions, and I tell them the same thing I tell everybody. We have an amazing formula, and I'm a piece of the formula. And, you know, just like math, you know, formulas, and if you PEMDAS, do it out of order, what happens? You don't get the right thing. If you forget the M, what happens? I got to get the right. So consider me the M, whatever, the A, but I'm just a spoke on the wheel. And I try to do my part every day the best that I can. And I know with our staff, we all have that same mindset, and it's genuine.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I love, too. Like, we don't have egos. We don't sit here and try to pick and point. We don't do that.
Yeah.
It's just genuine. Y'all love each other, and it's great, and we all just want to work to get better and help these young men pay it forward. And
yeah.
So I think some of it does come from, though, like, except for Elander, because Elander was the best baseball player on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
All of us probably weren't as good as we wanted to be and had to really work really hard, and Elander worked very hard. I actually had him as a player, too. But I think that's what stems to us paying it forward to our players. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah, it's rare to have a bunch of guys in the coaching staff that are like that. For you, where does that mindset come from, though?
Parents, family, coaches. You know, my high school coach, my second one, he passed away. But I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him, Coach Steven Gustler. Like, a lot of things that he instilled in me, baseball-wise, like V and I still talk about.
Mm.
Like, it's funny, his dad, same thing for him.
Yeah.
Frank, his coach, same thing for him. So a lot of it, it's like you see similar paths, and then there's people in each other's and our individual lives that helped us get to that point. So I think it's the same. It's very, very similar. And then we all have that same mindset and that same kind of upbringing. So then you all kind of get together like Voltron, and it's like, wow, like we all kind of have that same outlook on coaching, on developing young athletes, and then just relationships.
Yeah. What was one thing that your coach taught you that really changed your perspective?
There was a lot.
Yeah.
Belief. One thing he did was, like, I remember the first time we ever talked, I think I was 15, and he was like, you can be great. Honestly, like, you know, I never heard that before, like in baseball. And so that's one thing I try to let our athletes know, is on or off the field, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm.
And so that belief, and it's amazing. I was actually telling our freshmen the other day that it's amazing when you have a bunch of guys that believe in each other, genuinely, what you can accomplish. And so that belief he instilled in me, and then the accountability, self-accountability. So I was always motivated, but the self-accountability, and then just being on time.
Yeah.
Being on time for me is huge. Like, I don't like to be late to anything. I like to be early. So those kind of foundational things were huge. And then, obviously, like I said, I wasn't very good at baseball. So then once you go into the real world, those kind of characteristics you have can carry you a long way.
How important is it for you to kind of remind those guys that you do believe in them, but they also have to believe in themselves?
It's extremely important. And it has to be consistent and constant and organic. And so it usually happens daily, because this game is a game of overcoming failure.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get approached with that every day, especially if you really do believe in yourself. You know, you're going to, you know, KT, he wants to go 10 for 10.
Yeah.
Every game. And so he plays with so much passion. So letting him know 2-3 for 10 is pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the SEC, that's pretty good. 4 for 10 is even better. Like, but you're still getting out 60-70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so just focusing on each task and simplifying things is something that can also help with the mentality. It's something we try to do too.
How important is it to find the switch in a player where you're like, okay, I think I'm really getting through to him, and then you obviously see it transpire on the field?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, and that was something that I tried to do when I played in college too. It was like, being the best teammate you can is knowing your brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing, I'm still a teammate, I'm just have a different position, I'm not playing. So knowing each individual, what makes them tick, that's one thing that does kind of, you know, transfer over in the pro side too.
Yeah.
I think a little more actually in the pro side for the individual aspect, but
okay,
for the team vibe, every team is different, as you know. So like each way to get the whole team fired up each year changes. And like this team was very different than the 23 team. This 24 team was a lot like the 21 team.
Oh.
As far as vibe and culture and cohesion, very similar. Very, very, very similar. And so it wasn't that difficult. Usually they created their own vibe, to be honest with you. And that's what's beautiful to see. You know, you might have Blake Burke doing a dance in the weight room, making everybody laugh or making fun of somebody.
Is that how he's able to do all those acrobatics at first base?
That's his parents and God right there.
Yeah, right.
Nobody else is taking credit for that. But, yeah, so it's just everything. It's different. It's unique. It's individual.
So to see that, one, this team is similar to 2021 and maybe even has some of the vibes from 2022, how special does it make this program, and maybe why you decided to come back?
It's everything. And when a lot of people don't understand it. So when you say we're family, even some of the guys that come in on the recruiting visit, and I tell them, like, I tell you we're family, and you're just looking at me now, and you're like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then by October, November, December, you're like, you see it and you understand. And it was everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to tell young people, vibes like we have don't happen all the time. And so when it happens, you have to embrace it, cherish it, and appreciate it. Because, you know, you hope the band stays together for forever.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, Danny White can help keep us together for forever, and we can just all retire balls and all that, because it is special.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's incredible.
So obviously you challenge them day to day, but how have they maybe challenged you?
Ooh, that's a great question. Challenge me with patience. I don't have a lot of patience. So, you know, there's times when you maybe want to get after them, but it's like, okay, you know, let's see if it's going to sell itself. So
yeah.
The patience aspect, they'll challenge me. And then also with some of the players too, the high level, high training age guys, is getting creative. Because it's, you know, how we do in the weight room, we individualize a lot of things. So, you know, somebody might come up and say, hey, I'm not feeling clumsy.
Yeah.
Or he needs a different, you know, he came back last year and he had some different things we need to try to figure out in the weight room. So getting creative, getting in your toolbox, reaching out some of my mentors or people to challenge in that way, programming wise. This year's team definitely challenged me in a good way.
Yeah.
And so those two things are probably the biggest.
Yeah. Sure. Then how rewarding is it then to see guys like Christian Moore, who really explode on the scene in their final year, 34 home runs? What is it like from the dugout watching guys like him, Blake Burke, and all of these guys have 20 plus home runs on the season?
I mean, you should just sit back and watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to not kind of sit back and have popcorn and watch. You're just proud.
Yeah.
Because you see how hard these guys work. You see when they get with Beth and the nutrition aspects and the guys that truly buy into that aspect and living right. Like, we had a saying this year, guys, we like a boot and start young, living right. Just seeing the sacrifices that they made and everything come to fruition, seeing their goals, their dreams come out in the draft day, and it's huge. Or seeing Simo against Kentucky, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, KT, one home run hit against Vandy, I think. V and I still watch, or even his home run in the bullpen at Kentucky. It's just like seeing those moments, Blake Burke, the Florida State first game come back. It's just surreal. And so you're just very, very, very proud of the work. Because a lot of people, they see the 5%,
mm-hmm.
which is the game. They don't see the 95, the class, you know, practice, conditioning, sprint, we're all that. They don't see that. And so they're seeing everything, you know, that's why they bat flip. That's why they don't have that emotion.
You joined the program in 2018. You were here for four seasons, obviously left for 6 months, and then now you're back here. In your time at Tennessee, what, from your perspective or position, has been a turning point in this program?
Obviously, you know, the yeses that, you know, E, V, and Frank are getting from players.
Hmm.
You know, I remember we lost a player. I'm not going to name any names to LSU. It was a player that, you know, he really wanted, pitcher. And, you know, he went in there in fall 2017, I think, was his first visit. I was here for that. And, you know, he was an 18, 17-year-old kid. And then he went to Alex Box, and it was – we didn't really stand a chance after that. So a lot of the difference is the yeses that we're getting. And just being honest, because, you know, these kids buy in, they're great young men from great families, and they're talented.
Yeah.
So that helps. And then, you know, our staff does an amazing job recruiting.
Yeah.
And I think so that, in my opinion, that's been the biggest turnaround. And it's no disrespect to the players we've had before, because we've had some great players before, from Andre Lipsius, Garrett Crochets, Garrett Stallings, and so on and so forth. Excuse me. And I think just getting those caliber of players and more volume now helps.
You mentioned the yeses that you're getting from recruits, one of them coming from Niagara in this transfer portal kind of recruiting class. In the age of NIL, where everyone's just kind of throwing money at players, the reason he chose Tennessee was because of the connection that Vitello and staff was trying to make with him. How much is that a testament to, like, the type of culture that you all are building at Tennessee?
I think it speaks for itself, you know, and you know, same thing with Billy Amick last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had probably the pick of the litter, could have gone wherever and got a lot of money. But the one thing that we try to, you know, for the record, I do love NIL. I'm glad the guys are getting it,
yeah,
getting paid. They deserve it. long time overdue.
For sure.
Ed O'Bannon, right? But it's more than just that. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I hope that young people and young athletes start to understand. It's like, money's cool, but especially in our field and our sport, like, you're going to get, the money's going to come anyway.
Yeah.
You need to be in a program where you feel comfortable and you have people around you that's going to support you in every direction you look. And telling young people that it's easier said than done sometimes, but you want to show them. And seeing guys that can understand that and truly see through the recruiting, because when they get recruited, especially with high caliber, everybody has their smiles and, you know, great faces on, best attributes, best dinner they're going to take you to.
Mm-hmm.
But can you see through all that and see the day-to-day?
Yeah.
And that's the thing we try to give them an insight in, is the day-to-day, what your daily life is going to be like, and who we are consistently every day. And I think, you know, some of the athletes speak for themselves, and they'll recruit themselves too. And I think everything kind of falls into place as it's supposed to be.
The belief that you have in this team and in yourself heading into next season, was it like kind of just now reloading?
Honestly, God, it's just, it feels like you get in that routine of just, okay, next fall, same thing. How are we going to, what's the group like this year? So it's just getting to know each of the guys and seeing like what makes them tick.
Yeah.
Starting from square one, like we're back working in the summer. So it's just kind of, not want to say Groundhog Day, but it's just the routine back again. And it's a challenge you look forward to, reloading and going for the challenge next year. You see in the portal, other schools are reloading as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that challenge of building our army back up again and same task again.
Does it help you keep your edge?
Always.
Always. Nice.
When you see other, even players that you might have wanted going to other schools, it just fires you up, because it's like, all right, don't slack. You mm-hmm. slack, you get beat.
Yeah.
And as competitive as we all are as well, from top to bottom, I don't like saying top to bottom, side to side, across the board, as competitive as everybody is, it just, it keeps you going, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Q, I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you
for
having me.
Of course.